Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Tzadi Vav. We're beginning towards the bottom of Tzadi Hei Amid Beis, the beginning of the new Perek, the beautiful 11th Perek of Kesubos, which begins with the Mishnah towards the bottom of Tzadi Hei Amid Beis. The Mishnah begins, Almona Nizones Minichse Yisomim. We learned previously, and here's what we codified in the Mishnayos, that a woman who Nebuch lost her husband, she's entitled to be supported, she has mizonos from the estate until she takes her ksuba. Once she takes her ksuba, then she's no longer entitled to be supported by the estate. But if she chooses not to take her ksuba, and this is the machokis we'll have in the Gemara today, which we had previously, but if she chooses not to take her ksuba, so then she's allowed to be supported by the estate. Simple understanding. One of the understandings here is that it's her choice. We'll see another opinion that says it's the Yisomim's choice. If they wish to go and pay off the ksuba, they can. But we're working right now within the assumption that it's her choice. If she wishes to be supported and not collect the ksuba, she has that right. In fact, that's what our ksuba say, that she has the right to be living in the house of her dead husband and to be supported by the estate. In this situation, the orphans, the Yisomim, are entitled to get her handiwork. They're entitled to her earnings because the estate is supporting her. So just like when the husband supports her, the husband's entitled to her earnings. This was a relationship that was set up by Chazal, that if the woman is being supported by the husband, so in order to make sure that there's no ava, no hatred there, so in turn, she compensates, so to say, the husband with her handiwork. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. In this situation, the Yisomim are standing in for the husband, so Ma'asi Yodel Shen, since they're supporting her, so they're entitled to her handiwork. Fine. However, as opposed to the husband who is required to bury her, they ain't chayavim b'kvurasa. But if she passes away, so then they're not obligated to go and bury her. Why is that? Because Yorsheha, Yorshei Ksubasa, her Yorshim, her side of the family that inherits her, the Yisomim don't inherit her. The husband, if he was alive, were to inherit her, but the Yisomim don't inherit her. So therefore, her inheritors, her children, let's say, or her father and the father's children, would be inheriting her, and they would get her ksuba, because she's entitled to her ksuba, because her husband predeceased her. So even though she now dies, there is a ksuba that she's entitled to collect from the estate of her husband, and her yarshim will collect that ksuba. And since the reason why the husband normally would have to bury her is because he's entitled to her yerusha, so quid pro quo, Chazal said that he's, therefore, since he has to, since he's entitled to yerusha, he has to bury her. But here, the yarshim inherit her ksuba, and therefore the Yarshim, her Yarshim, have to go and bury her. Chayavim b'kvuras. Okay, that's the Mishnah. It said quite a bit, and now we're going to analyze it. The Gemara starts off and says, the Yes in the base Medr, Shibay Elohu, what is the correct girsa of our Mishnah? We read it with the girsa Almona Nizones Minichse Yisomim, which implies, as I said, that she's allowed to, it's her choice, she's allowed to go collect, if she wishes to, the mizonos instead of taking her ksuba. So is that the right girsa? The way we have it, nizones tenan, which means that it's her choice. If she wishes to, she can just get mizonos and not collect her ksuba. Or is the proper girsa, oh, ha nizones tenan, which implies that if the orphans wish to give her ksuba, they can, and they therefore don't have to support her. And it's only if they choose to support her, ha nizones tenan, if the orphans wish to support her, so then they're entitled to her ma'asei yadayim. So this is the simple, easy way that Rashi understands this. And we'll see this further in the next line of the Gemara. What's the two sides of the coin here? I already explained it, and the Gemara says it, and Rashi explains it very clearly. Nizonis tenan, do we read the girsa over here that nizonis tenan, meaning the Mishnah's Loshon is the way we have it, nizonis, that she is being supported by the Yisomim. In other words, this is like the practice of the Anshei Golil, Ucha Anshei Golil, Velo Sagi, the Lo Yavila, that they don't have a choice. If the wife wishes to be supported by the estate, she has the right to do so. And she doesn't have to take a ksuba. They cannot force her to take the ksuba. And they are, as a tenai of Beis Din, obligated to support her if there's money in the estate. And therefore, this was the practice that they did in the Galil. And it's her choice. Velo Sagi, they don't have the opportunity, the Lo Yavila, to say, no, we'd rather give you the ksuba and we don't want to support you. Or do we say, oh, Dilma, ha nizonis tenan, that the right girsa should have been ha nizonis, which implies uchan she Yehuda, like it was the custom in Yehuda, that the ibo lo yavala, that it's their choice, it's the Yisomim's option. If the Yisomim wished to give her a ksuba and say, here's your ksuba, it's been nice knowing you, they have the right to do so. Or if they wish to, they can support her. And that's why Hani's owners, if she is supported by them, so then they're entitled to her handiwork. But it's their choice. So basically, the Wipaskin and have the Girsa and his onus like the Galil, and therefore it's her choice? Or do we say, no, we pass him like they did in Yehuda, that the custom was that it's the Yisomim's choice. They either have to support her, or they can give her a ksuba. And therefore, the Girsa would be Hani's onus. That's the way Rashi understands this. It's nice and simple. Tosus is a slightly different way of looking at it. You can see this in the bottom, Tosus Nizonis, three lines in the bottom where it says Elanir Ali. Tosus is a slightly different way of looking at it, and therefore an entirely different way of understanding the upcoming Gemara. We'll just read this little piece of Tosus now, but we'll explain the rest of this year following the sheet of Rashi. So Elanir Ali, Tosus says, Hochi Perusho. It means over here, Nizonis, Tnan, Uchian She Golil, She Nizonis Al Karchan Shal Yisomim, that she can force the Yisomim to go and support her. And that's exactly like Rashi said, but here's the difference. The Hilkach, Maisi Adea Shalhen. Therefore, they are entitled to the Maisi Adaim of hers because she can force them to support her. However, Avolian She Yehuda, according to the custom in Yehuda, Shemidaitom Nizonis, it's their choice whether she should or should not get Mizonos, the Yecholin Lesalka, they can push her off and say, here's your ksuba, goodbye. Ain Maisi Adea Shalhen. They aren't entitled to the Maisi Adea. So according to Tosus' understanding, the Anshe Yehuda, who have the choice of supporting her or not, would not be entitled to her Maisi Adayim. Or do we say, no, the word Hani's onus is the way it should be written, and that follows the psak of the Anshe Yehuda, and that implies the Afilu the Anshe Yehuda, even in the custom of Yehuda, the Ibo, Lo Yavila, where they have the option of not supporting her, according to this version, they would still be entitled to the Maisi Adayim, even if they don't go and support her. So again, Tosfos is a different way of understanding it. We'll learn simple like Rashi. If you follow the Anshei Galil, so then she is in charge, and she has the right to say, either support me, or I want to collect my ksuba. If you follow the Lashon of Hani's onus, so then we're following the opinion of the Anshei Yehuda, where the orphans have the choice, and the orphans can say, we don't want to support you, here's your ksuba. But if they do support her, then they would be entitled to Maisi Adel. So that's the question. Which one is it? Toshma. Now we turn to Tzadi Vav Omid Aleph, where we have the following Braisa that gives us our answer. Now the Girsa in the Masorah Seshas should be De Omar Rabbi Zeira. You see it, Os Aleph in the Masorah Seshas. So De Omar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, in the name of Shmuel, Omer Shmuel, Mitzias Almona Liatzma, that the findings that an Almona has, if she finds a $20 bill in the street, so she gets to keep it. Mitzias Almona Liatzma. Now, this works out very well if you hold E Amris Bishlama Hani Zonis Tan. If you have the opinion that the Mishnah should be Hani Zonis, which simple again like Rashi would be that we follow the custom of the Anshe Yehuda, that it's the orphan's choice whether they wish to support her or not. So then, why would the Mitzia of the Amona go to herself? It wouldn't go to the Yisomim because Shapit works out very, very well because the Yisomim have the choice of saying, we don't want to support you. And therefore, both her Maisi Adayim and her mitzios go to her. Very good. That works out very well that you can have such a scenario that the orphans can say, we don't want to support you, therefore we're not entitled to your Maisi Adayim, and we're also not entitled to your mitzios. Very good. That's how we would understand Rav Zeira Amar Shmuel, mitzias Amon Eliatzma. However, if you have the Girsa Nizonis, Eli Amris Nizonis, which means that she can force the Yisomim to go and support her, they have to pay her Mizonis, it's her choice, so then why, in that situation, aren't the Yisomim considered like the husband? Just like the husband's entitled to Maisi Adah and Mitziosa, Nehevi Kabal. The Yisomim should have the same status as the Baal. Just like the Baal is forced to support her, but he gets her Maisi Adayim and her Mitzios, so too. The orphans are forced to support her, so therefore, Ma Baal Mitzios Ishul Abala, the husband gets the Mitzios of the wife, as he does her Maisi Adayim if he's supporting her. So too, Hochanami, the orphans, the Yisomim, Mitzias Isha, Yarshim, they should get the Mitzia of the Isha. So how would it make any sense, Rav Zeira Omer Shmuel, that Mitzias Amon Eliatzba, it should definitely go to the Yisomim, because she has the choice, and if she wishes to be supported, then she should have to give her Mitzios to the Yisomim. How does Rav Zeira Omer Shmuel say that she keeps the Mitzios? So it says, no, it's not a Raya that our Mishnah must be Hanizonis. No, it could still be Nizonis. Why? Because the Olam Emeloch Nizonis. No, it could be Nizonis. And she can force them to go and support her. They're entitled to her Maisi Adayim, but why not are they entitled then to her Mitzios as well? Because the reasoning is different. Taima. My Amar Rabbanim Mitzias Ishal Bala. Why did the Chachamim say that under normal circumstances, a woman's finding, she finds a $20 bill, she has to give it to her husband, Lebala? Why is that? The Lo Tebe Lo Eva. Because we don't want it to be hatred between the husband and wife. Husband saying, listen, I'm supporting you, and now you found $20 and you're not giving it to me? That's going to lead to a hatred between them. The Maisi Adayim, so that is something that was set up, as Rashi points out. And Dibra Maska Tebe Lo Eva. The Alkocha Zom No Sa. So in this situation, we're saying that the Maisi Adayim were a takana, a quid pro quo for the Mizonos. So too, by the Yisomim, the Maisi Adayim are a quid pro quo. We're saying that that is keneged the fact that they're supporting her, so they get the Maisi Adayim. But it's different. By the Metzias, it's not a quid pro quo. The Metzias was purely set up that the husband shouldn't be angry at his wife. He says, listen, I'm supporting you, and you find $20 and you don't give it to me? So that wasn't set up as a compensation for the fact that he's giving her mizonos. That was set up as something to encourage love and harmony between them. We're not interested in love and harmony between the stepmother and the stepchildren, the Yisomim. Obviously, they're not talking about her own children. There should be normal harmony between the mother and her own children. They would, of course, want to support the mother. But here it's the evil stepmother that we're probably talking about. And therefore, we're not interested in the Yisomim having harmony with her. That could be chas v'shalom, lead to terrible immoralities. So here, the Maisi Adayim, they're entitled to get because they aren't paying the mizonos. That's a direct quid pro quo type of relationship. So therefore, that's not going to lead to Eva, that's not going to lead to harmony, that's not going to lead to anything. This is a financial transaction. Yeah, we're supporting her, and therefore we get her salary. But when it comes to the Metzios, that was purely to encourage love between the two. Here, we're not interested. Honey, to have Elu Eva, the Gemara says, we don't care if the Yisomim don't find that they're enamored with their stepmother. That's fine, because we don't want to encourage any sort of a relationship there more than is absolutely necessary. Okay. So therefore, we have no raya from Rav Zeira Amar Shmuel that Metzias Amon Eliatzma, that doesn't fit in necessarily with only Hani Zonas, that could fit in with the Zonas as well. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Kom Lachu Shel Isha Osel Lebala Amona Osel Yorshim. Since we started talking about the comparative relationship between the husband and the wife, and then the responsibility that the husband has towards the wife. So now we talk about the Yisomim's responsibility towards their stepmother, towards their father's wife. So we now talk about the obligations that she has towards the Yisomim. So Amar Yosi Bar Chanina, Kom Lachu Sha'isha Osir Levala, the things that a wife normally does for her husband that aren't of a very personal nature, so then Almana Osir Yorshim. So the Almana, when she becomes widowed, so she's still expected to do those things for the Yorshim. What are some of these things? So Rashi brings down, and so these were listed hashanuyas that we learned in Perek Afalpi on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. For example, tochenes, she is expected to grind the flour and ofa, and then to bake it into bread. The chule, that she is expected to cook. She's expected to do some washing. So she's expected to do certain household tasks that a wife does for a husband, not so much out of a chiba relationship, but that's, so to say, the responsibility. The wife was working in the house, then the husband worked outside the house, so each of them had different roles. So those things that are not done specifically for chiba, so those the husband is expected to get from his wife, so too the yorshim expect to get that from the wife, in turn, so to say, for them supporting her. Now, this doesn't include the statement from Yossi Bar Chanina doesn't include things that are more personal nature. Chutz mimizigas hakos. The mizigas hakos is an expression that's used for the dilution of the wine that they would have. Their wines were like a concentrated wine, and they would either dilute them in a 2 parts water to 1 part wine, or 3 parts water to 1 part wine, and they would dilute it and serve it. So therefore, that was something that was more of a personal nature that would lead to a loving relationship between the husband and wife. So between a husband and wife, it's appropriate that she should do the mizigas hakos, but between herself and her stepchildren, so that's not appropriate, and therefore she's not expected to do mezigas hakos. Likewise, she's not expected to do vatzos amita, to put the bedding on, to spread out the sheets on the bed. So that's something that would lead to a closeness between a husband and wife that's inappropriate, and therefore not appropriate that it should be done by the almana for the stepchildren. And likewise, harchotzas panav yod v'raglav, and the washing of her husband's face and hands and feet, which is something that was done out of chiba, so that would be totally inappropriate and is not a responsibility of the almana to do towards the yorshim. Again, as Rashi reminds us over here, all of these and Dibur Maskel, Chutz Mibzigas Hakos, Vuchule, all of these are Shehem Melachos HaMekarvos Chiba, the Hergel Dover. These are all things that will increase the love and the relationship, but bring a closeness between the husband and wife, and these are things that are of a personal nature, and therefore totally inappropriate for the widow to do this for her stepchildren. Mark continues and says, "I'm Rishu Melevi." Rishu Melevi tells us, "Kol milachos she'eved osel rabo, talmid osel rabo." Any type of avoda that an eved normally does for his master, so too a talmid should do for his rebbe. Again, one exception over here, chutz, with the exception of me'atoras, we have the gear so low, mino, with the exception that he doesn't go and untie. Atorah means to untie the shoes, the mino of his rebbe. Whereas a master expects that to be done by his slave, a rebbe shouldn't have that done by his talmid. But under what circumstances is that true? Rava says, Amar Rava, that's only true, law of Marim. We only said that the talmid shouldn't untie the rebbe's shoes. Ela b'makom shein makirin osel, where they don't recognize that he is the talmid of the rebbe, they may think mistakenly that he's a slave of the rebbe. As Rashi says, Dibur Mas Chutz Mi'Ataras Minal, Sharoa, somebody sees this person untying his rebbe's shoes, they're going to think, Omer Eved Kenani, they're going to say, this guy is an Eved Kenani, and that's going to ruin his marriage potential, because everyone's going to say he's an Eved, and nobody's going to marry him. So therefore, if they don't know you, b'makom shein makirin osel, they don't know that this is a star pupil of this great Talmid Chacham, so therefore he shouldn't untie his rebbe's shoes in public. And furthermore, Avo b'makom shemakirin osel, but if everybody knows this is the Talmud of this great Rebbe, he's a Talmud Chacham in his own right, and he's the Talmud of this great Rebbe, so then less lon bat. Then he's even allowed to go and untie his Rebbe's shoes, because everybody knows that he's not an Eved Kenani. Everybody knows that he's a Talmud Chacham in his own right. Okay. Furthermore, Amar Ravashi says, even b'makom she'ein makirin osel, even in a place where they don't recognize him, and we just said, Rava said, that he shouldn't untie the Rebbe's shoes in that situation because they may think he's an Eved Kenani, even there, Nami, we didn't say it, lo amarin, ela delo manach tvilin. We only said he can't untie his Rebbe's shoes in that place because they may think he's an Eved Kenani, but they only said that if he's not wearing tvilin. Because if he's not wearing tefillin, then they would mistakenly think that he's an Eved Kenani, because they don't know him. He's not wearing tefillin. A Yid normally wears tefillin. They don't know him, so they'll assume he's an Eved Kenani. Abu Manach tefillin, if he's wearing tefillin, Rashi says, in Dibur HaMaschil, Manach tefillin, less lunba, so Rashi says, in this situation, She'ein derech avodim l'niach tefillin. Tosus qualifies that and says, well, Rashi says, it's never their nature to wear tefillin. Tosus points out, sometimes they did wear tefillin, but they didn't wear them all the time. So in any event, if they see, Ravashi says, this Talmud is wearing tefillin, so then less lambad, then there is no concern, then nobody's going to think he's an Eved Kenani, because he's wearing tefillin either at all, like Rashi says, or regularly, like Tosus says, and therefore, nobody's going to mistake him for an Eved Kenani. Furthermore, the Gemara now addresses a very interesting question that maybe you're having. Why would the Rebbe let his Talmud do this? Rebbe should say, listen, don't serve me, I'll take care of myself. So, if the Rebbe tells to the Talmud, listen, I'll take care of myself, thank you very, very much, he's actually doing a disservice to the Talmud. If a Rebbe doesn't let the Talmud serve him, so he's actually taking something away from the Talmud. It's as if Moneya mimenu chesed. It's as if he's preventing him from having chesed. What does that mean? Shenemar, because we have a famous pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk says, "Lamos meireyu chosed veyiras shakai yaazov." Now, first we dash to the first part, then in a moment we dash to the second part of the pasuk. So now we're dashing in the first part of the pasuk. Shenemar, "Lamos meireyu chosed." It's as if you are withholding kindness from your friend. So this is referring to somebody that is in fact a Rebbe not allowing his Talmud to go and take off his shoes or do things for him that a Rebbe normally should let a Talmud do for him. As Rashi points out in Dibur HaMaskel, Lamos Mireyu Chosed, so HaMemis Atzmo Mireyu, Memis Mimenu Chasod. It's like we have the word Lomas over here twice. So if you go and prevent him from doing things for you, it's as if you're preventing him from getting Chesed. Others explain that it's the previous pasuk. Rashi says the second pshat is the mafkalo midasiv la'el minei. Right before this pasuk, it says in Iyov, v'soshia nidcha mimeni. What does this mean? Soshia nidcha mimeni means that is good advice being withheld from me. And then right afterwards, Rashi says v'somach le lamas mireo chosed. Is this good advice? Is let the Talmud do things for you, and this way he'll have chesed. So that's the first understanding. Ruchia Barab Arav Yochan says that Rebbe should let the Talmud do things for him. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer, he says a different source for this. He says, Af Porik Mimenu Yir Shemayim. Look at the second part of the Pasuk. It's not only Chesed that he's preventing him from having, but he's also causing him not to have Yir Shemayim. Why? Because the next part of the Pasuk, Shenema, V'Yira Shakai Yazov, the Yira Shemayim, the Yira Shakai, is going to leave him because he's not serving the Rebbe. When a person serves the Rebbe, it humbles the person, it makes the person understand how great the Rebbe is, how great the Torah the Rebbe has is, and therefore, these are very good things to bring Chesed and Yira Shemayim. And if the Rebbe doesn't allow the Talmud to do this, he's in fact, in some way, preventing the Talmud from benefiting from these two ideas. Okay. Gemara continues, says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar tells us, Amonu Shetofsa Mitaltel Bizon Seha, Ma Shetofsa Tofsa. Now, we've already pointed out previously, Tosfos who brought it down, that from the times of the Gaonim and on, they changed the basic din, and they allowed the Amana to go and collect from even metautoli, even from movable property that was in the estate, not only from Karka. But in the times of the Gemara, the din was that the Amana is only allowed to go and collect from Karkoi, only from Karka. But what happens in the times of the Gemara, Belazza says, if the Amana grabbed metautoli, she's entitled to Mizonos, but they're is no karka, but there's lots of objects, there's lots of movables. And therefore, she grabs some of the movables. There's lots of vases around, and she grabs a vase for a mizonos. She grabs a Ming vase, it's worth $1,000, and she goes and sells it for the mizonos. So in this situation, the law says, whatever she grabbed, Masha Tofsa Tofsa, she has the right to go and keep it. We don't take it away from her. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara says, Tani Nam Yach, we have a Braisa that supports Rabbi Elazar. What does the Braisa say? Almonu Shetofsa Metaltelim Mizonosel, Ma Shetofsa Tofsa. Says exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. The Braisa says, if the Almonu grabbed Metaltelim to go and pay for a Mizonos, so if she grabbed it already, so then it is considered hers, and you can't take it back from her in Basin. Tosos, in Dibra Maschel, Almonu Shetofsa Metaltelim brings down an interesting machlokes, and Tosos says, Pirish HaRivon, the Rivon says, Demayri B'tofsa Li'achamisa Sabal. So the Rivon's opinion is that she took this after the husband died. There are others that disagree and say, no, she took it before the husband died, and that's why she's entitled to keep it. In any event, the Gemara says that Maisa Shahaya, they paskind over here like Rabbi Elazar and like this Braisa. V'chein ki osa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he told them over the following Maisa. Maisa b'chaloso shu Rabbi Shabsai, there once was the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Shabsai, who Nebuch, Rabbi Shabsai's son, passed away, and she grabbed Shetofsa this kaya, Mileya Mos. Rashi tells us that the word diskaya means sak shel or, and elsewhere, Rashi tells us that it means du sakya, two. The word du, like duo, two sacks. So this was something that they would put over the horse. They would have a sack on one side, a sack on the other side, like a saddlebags. And this Kala, the daughter-in-law of Reb Shasai, grabbed such a sack, this double sack, this skaya, mileya mos. It was filled with money. It was metaltali, it's not karka, but she grabbed it from the estate of her Nebuch dead husband, and v'lo yakoch bidei chacham, and b'yach chacham lohotzi miyoda. And the chacham said, listen, masha tofsa tofsa, we pass it over here like this braisa, like Rabbi Elazar, and whatever she grabbed, she is in fact allowed to keep. We can't go and take it from her. Gemara continues and says, I'm Ravina. Ravina says, v'lo amorin, Rabbi Elazar, the braisa, this psak din from Eretz Yisrael, was only said, v'lo amorin, elemazone. That was only when they she was tofsa was for mizonos. So then, in that situation, we allow her to keep what she grabbed from metaltali. That's only when it was used for mizonos. But if she would grab it for a ksuba, avol ksuba, then mafkinon mina. Then we would go, in fact, and take it away from her. This din, that she whatever she grabs, masha tofsa tofsa, is only in regards to mizonos. And again, this is in the times of the Gemara, that she was only entitled to collect the ksuba from karka. So therefore, if she grabbed for a ksuba from a taltali, so then that the rights, the beis din had the right to go and take it back from her and give it to the yisomim. So that is what Ravina tells us. The Gemara questions this. Masiv lo marba Ravashi. Marba Ravashi questions Ravina and he says, why should there be a difference between whether masha tofsa tofsa regards to mizonos or your opinion that masha tofsa lo tofsa in regards to ksuba? They should be the exact same thing. If you say masha tofsa tofsa, it should work for both. If you say masha tofsa lo tofsa, it should work for both. He asks, maishna l'ksuba, why should there be a difference of ksuba that you're saying that she doesn't grab it? If she grabs it, she has to return it. Because the din is that she's only allowed to collect from karka and not from metaltali. So then mizonos, the same thing, mizonos nami. She's only allowed to take mikarkoi in the times of the Gemara, v'lo mi metaltali, and not from metaltali. So therefore, there should be the same thing for both. So what must it be? Elul mizone ma'ida tofsa tofsa hachanami liksuba ma'ida tofsa tofsa. So therefore, the same din should apply. Marba Rav Ashi says that if you're telling me that the din is that if she grabs from a tautli, ma'ida tofsa tofsa, so that should apply whether she grabbed it for mizonos or whether she grabbed it for a ksuba, the din should be the same. So Marba Rav Ashi disagrees with Ravina. However, the Gemara says that we possibly like Ravina. I'm like Rav Yitzchak ben Naftali to Ravina. Rav Yitzchak ben Naftali told Ravina, that Rava paskin like you as well. And therefore, the halach is like Rava, that the concept of Masha Tafsa Tafsa is only for Mizonos, but not for the Ksuba. Not like Mar Baravashi said, but like Ravina said. Gemara continues and says, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishmeid Rav Yossi ben Zimra. Rav Yochanan said a name over of Rav Yossi ben Zimra, Almona Shishoasa Shtayim Vishalushonim. If an almana was living for 2 or 3 years without having collected her mizonos, so going forward in the future, she's still allowed to collect it. We're talking now she wants to retroactively go and get the money that she laid out for the mizonos for the past 2 or 3 years. So if she didn't go and ask for it up front, so now it's after 2 or 3 years, ibda mizonos. She lost that right. Now, as we'll see in a moment, mikanu laba, she didn't lose the right, but just to go and collect for the past 2 or 3 years, she's not allowed to go and collect if she hasn't claimed it already. Mar says, why are you telling me 2 or 3 years? Hashto shtayim ibda. If she can't collect it after 2 years, she'll show us we buy it. So of course she can't collect it after 3 years. Why do you have to tell me 3? She should have just said, if she didn't collect it for 2 years, that should be the limit, and she can't go back and collect it. What are you adding over here in the Gemara by telling me also for 3 years? So we're going to give it 2 terutzim over here. Number one, Lokasha, it's not a problem because we're dealing here, Kamba Aniya, a poor woman, we give her 2 years. She probably would have gone forward and said, I haven't been paid if it's at least 2 years. But for a richer woman, maybe she would manage to hold out for 3 years before she would ask for payment. So Kamba Yashira. So that's why it said 2 or 3 years. For a poor woman, we would expect her to go and claim the payment after 2 years. If she hasn't claimed it by 2 years, Mustama, she got it, and therefore she can't go and claim it. Whereas a rich woman, we will give her an extra year because she has independent resources to go and get the payments before she needs to get the payments. So that's terrace number one. Terrace number two, Inami, we're dealing with a kambi prutza, kambi vitznua, a woman who is immodest, a prutza. So she's going to come forward. She's not going to be shy. She won't hold from Kokfuda Basmelech Penima, the famous pasuk in Tillim that says that the tzniyas tikkun women, they don't like to go outside and litigate. So the prutza, the woman who's less modest, so she'll be happy to go and litigate. So therefore, if she doesn't come forward by 2 years, we have to assume that she got paid. And now, why did she wait till beyond 2 years? Doesn't make any sense. So she can't go and make the claim after 2 years. Whereas the more tznua dikkun woman, so she would not want to go. So she waited and waited and waited and waited until she finally has no choice. She has to go. So we give her 3 years. Okay. So that's what Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Yossi ben Zimra, that the almana who's waited more than 2 or 3 years, depending on the circumstances, so she can't go and collect. But that's only retroactively. Omer Rava, lo amar ne'el mafreya, that's only retroactively to go and collect. However, avo mikanu la'ba, avo la'ba, yeshla. If she says, from now on, okay, I was able to manage for 2 or 3 years on my own, or I got it, I didn't get it, but now, going forward, I want to claim it. So she doesn't lose it by the fact that she didn't claim it for 2 or 3 years. She's still entitled to it. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Boy, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan answers the following shayla. Yisomrim, omrim. The Yisomrim say, Nasaninu, that we paid her. We gave her for the mizonos. And she says otherwise. So the Hiomer is, Lo natalti. I never got paid. So Rashi understands this, Nasaninu, in the last Rashi on the daf, the name Mizonos Lishona Haba. Rashi understands that the orphans, the Yisomim, are saying, we gave her money. We gave her the amount of money for the Mizonos Lishona Haba, for the upcoming year. So they claim that they've already paid her. And she says, no, you haven't paid me yet. Now, many have a problem with understanding Rashi in this way, because why would the Yisomim be believed unless they had proof? This is something that Beis Din says, that the Yisomim, the estate, has to go and support the widow. So why would there be a question as to who has to bring the raya? Beis Din says that the Yisomim have to support, so they're the ones. Hamotzi Mechayer, all of a raya. Beis Din says you have to go support. So unless you can prove that you supported, so the answer would be clearly that the Yisomim have to go and support her. If she says, I haven't gotten the money, unless they can prove that they paid the money, they would have to pay it. So therefore, many understand it, and some suggest that this is Rashi's understanding as well, that we're dealing with the previous year, not the upcoming year. And therefore, since she's only now coming forward to Taina, I didn't get paid. That's why there could be an argument that who should be the one? I'm also mechaber all over Raya, whether it's the Yisoma that have to prove, or does the Almana have to prove that she was paid or not paid in order for them to go collect? So that's the question that Rav Yochanan asks over here. Rav Yochanan says, who is responsible to prove that the payment was either made or the payment was not made? Is it the Yisoma that have to prove it? They're the ones that are Hamos Mechavar Olav Araya? Or is it the Almana? She's the one that is not considered the owner of it, and therefore if she wants to collect it, Hamos Mechavar Olav Araya, she has to prove that she hasn't collected it. She can somehow prove that the Yisoma said, no, we didn't go and pay her. So if she can bring witnesses to that, so then she'll be able to collect. Otherwise, she can't collect. So that's what the Gemara says. Almi lohavi raya. Who is the one that has to bring the raya? In other words, we turn to Tzadi Vav Omid Beis. The two possibilities are, do we say nirse v'cheskas yasmi kaime v'al almona lohavi raya? Do we say that the orphans, the Yisomim, are considered the owners? They're the ones that inherited this, and they're the ones that are considered the muhzak, and therefore, if the almona says, I haven't been paid, she's the one that has to go bring a raya that she wasn't paid if the orphans say, we paid you. Or do we say no? Do we say no? We consider this that this is a Beis Din's Tanai, that when Nebuch, her husband, passed away, the widow's entitled to mizonos, so it's as if the mizonos is in her possession already. And therefore, it's to the Yisomim to prove, to take it away from her, they have to prove that they in fact paid her. Otherwise, the default position is that she's the muhzak and she would get the mizonos. So that's the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's question. Shmuel says, let's bring a raya. Well, the following brisa, Toshma, the Tony Levi learned in the brisa, and Almana Kosman Shaloni says, Ala Yisom Lovi Raya. If the Almana did not get remarried, so then it's the Yisomim that have to bring a raya that they paid her the money. Otherwise, the default position is that if she says she wasn't paid, they have to pay her. However, Ni says, if she did remarry, so then she would have to go and bring a raya, Olel Lovi Raya, if she says, well, you know, for the year before I got married, obviously once she gets married, so there's no longer mizonos. But in this situation, if she makes the taina that I didn't get paid for the mizonos for last year, so then she would have to bring the raya. And this understanding is once she gets married, so then she is no longer a muhzak. Up until this point, she is a muhzak. And here's the raya. So therefore, the Gemara says that since if she's not married, so then she's considered the muhzak. Ala Yisom Lavi Raya. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's question is answered. Do we view it as the Yisomah of the muhzak, or is the Almana the muhzak? So clearly from this price, we see that the Yisomah is the muhzak, because when she's married, she's no longer, when she remarries, she's no longer the muhzak. So therefore, that implies that up until the time that she remarries, she is in fact the muhzak. So therefore, it would be incumbent upon the Yisomim to bring a raya if they don't want to pay her. But if she tied that she wasn't paid, and they can't bring a raya that she was paid, then they would lose and they would have to pay her. I'm Rishima Barashi. Rishima Barashi says, this is in fact a machlokas tanoim. This brisa that you brought down is a raya to the fact that she is the muhzak, but there is another brisa that says otherwise. Kitanoi. This is a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Where is this? It says as follows. Mocheres v'koseves. If Nebuch the Yalmona has nothing to support herself, so she has to go sell some properties from the estate of her Nebuch late husband, so she's allowed to go and sell them, and she should write down a shtar that says, Elu l'mezonos mocharti, ve'elu l'ksuba mocharti. So let's say she's entitled to $500 for mezonos, but there's a property that she's selling for $1,000. So she says, listen, I'm selling this property for $1,000, 500 of which is for my mizonos, and 500 of which is I'm taking as a partial repayment of my ksuba. Until the ksuba is entirely repaid, she's still entitled to mizonos. So she had to sell the property for $1,000. So she says, okay, 500 I'm taking for mizonos, and 500 I'm taking for my ksuba. Elu mizonos mecharti, elu ksuba mecharti. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says she better have evidence. She better have proof over here that this is for mizonos. And therefore, she would otherwise not be able to collect unless she has evidence. Whereas Rav Yossi Omer, Mocheres for Kosev Estam, she could just sell the property and she doesn't have to write anything down. She should just say, I sold this property. And therefore, Vekein Kocha Yofe, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, she can have the choice over here of saying that this is either for mizonos or this is for Maiksuba, depending on which way is more advantageous to her, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. So this is what Rav Shimi Barashi brought down. This is a machlokis tanoim. Now, how is this a machlokis tanoim? My lab b'ha komifli. Aren't Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Yossi arguing exactly on this point? Is the muksa considered the yisomim, or is the muksa considered the almana? So, li Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Omar boy lefarushi, she better write down in a document what she exactly sold the property for. This much was for Mazonas, this was for my kasuba. So, Rabbi Yehuda holds, nichse becheskas yasme kaime, that the Yisomim are considered the muhsak, and therefore, v'yalu almona lohavi raya. She better have a raya that she was paid this. Otherwise, they're going to take it away from her and say, listen, you're not entitled to any Mazonos. So here she can say, listen, I took this property, I sold it, $500 for my Mazonos. That she is the one that has to have a raya in order to be able to collect. Rav Yossi Savar, he disagrees. Rav Yossi says, lo boy lefrushe, she didn't have to document anything over here. She just has to document that it was sold, but she doesn't have to say whether it's her ksuba or her mazonos. Lo boy lefrushe, because nirse becheskas amonakaimi, it's considered hers. And therefore, b'alai yisomim lo v'irai, if the yisomim want to say that it was done inappropriately or that they already paid her, they better bring a raya. So, Rav Shimi Barashi wants to connect this braisa that has this machlokas in Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi to be all machlokas over here. Are the Yisomim the Muksak or is the Amonah the Muksak? But the Gemara says not necessarily so. Mimai, why are you forced to go and say that this is what Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi are arguing about? Maybe Dilma, in fact, the Kuliyama Nirse Becheskes Amonah Kaimi. In fact, even Rav Yehuda holds that the Amonah is considered the Muksak. Aye, why did he say, go write down that this 500 was for my Mizonos and this 500 was for my Kesuba? It was for her benefit. Because normally, ala yisom lo havi raya. In normal situations, the yisom have to bring a raya. But over here, Rav Yehuda was saying, Rav Yehuda eitza tova kamash v'lon delo likru lo rav sanusa. He says, it's a good idea. If you want to get married again, you don't want people to think that you're high maintenance. As Rashi says over here, in dira masl delo likru lo rav sanusa, haroa shemocheres kol karkos elu. Somebody sees she just sold a huge piece of karka. And he's going to say, wow, sovur shemocheres lemizonos. Wow. She needs this for a mizonos, so motzi lo shem rav sanusa. She's going to be considered a very gluttonous woman. She's going to be considered a woman of high maintenance. Vishuv ein adam nosa. No one's going to marry such a woman. So therefore, Rav Yehuda is just giving her an etzah tova. Write down that when you sold this property, it wasn't all for your mizonos, because you don't have to bring a raya. You're entitled to the mizonos, but you better bring down that 500 was for the mizonos and the other 500 was for your ksuba. So this way, people will say, wow, she's a frugal woman. She'd be a good woman to marry. As opposed to, wow, that woman's high maintenance. Nobody's going to want to marry her. So therefore, Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Yossi that nirse becheskas almana kaimi, and that's not the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. And I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says, if you don't say that this is in fact correct, that they all hold nirse becheskas almana kaimi, if you're going to in fact say that Rav Yehuda holds that the nirse are becheskas yisomim, so then we have a problem. Hold the boy Rav Yochan, and Rav Yochan asked the question, who's obligated to go and bring the claim? Is it the Yisomim or is it the Almana? So then, even if he didn't know this Braisa, Tifshot Lemi Masnesen, he should have certainly entered from the Mishnah that we learn in tomorrow's Shia. As Rashi reminds us, I've mentioned this many times, the Amoraim didn't know the Braises. That's why we have Tanya Nami Hachi. But the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayis. So even if he didn't know this Braisa that we just brought down, Rav Yochanan certainly knew the Mishnah. The following Mishnah we'll learn in tomorrow's Shia. Mocheris lemizonos shelo beveistin. The woman is allowed to go and sell off property for her mizonos, even not in the presence of beistin. And it says there in the Mishnah, v'kosevis, and she writes down, eilu mizonos mocharti, I'm selling these for mizonos. Now, this clearly would be Rav Yehuda's opinion that she better bring a proof, otherwise, hamotzi mechamer ol avaraya, if she can't bring proof, so then she won't win. Therefore, if that was the case, so why did Rav Yochanan ask this question? If the Mishnah is so obviously like Rav Yehuda, that's the din, so then what was his question? So obviously you have to interpret this Mishnah in tomorrow's Shir, Elam Mastisan, Lekla Mashmu, you know, you can't bring this as a Raya, because over there it's just the Eitza Tova Kamashulon. He didn't say you have to write down it's a Mizonos for a reason other than they shouldn't think that she's a Rav Sanusa. Not because she needed proof. It's been nirse becheskas almana kaimi. And the only reason Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah, in tomorrow's Mishnah, the Eitza Tova Kamashvulon, that they shouldn't think that she's a Rav Sanusa, so too over here in our Braisa, Hochanami, Eitza Tova Kamashvulon. And therefore, Rav Yehuda, in fact, holds just like Rav Yossi that Nichsei Becheskas Almona Kaimi, and you can't bring me any raya that this is the machlokas between Rehuda and Rav Yossi, is the same machlokas over here that we had that Rav Yochanan asked the question to. That's teretz number one, why Rav Shimi Barashi is not right that this is Kitanoi. Teretz number two, Inami, in fact, the opposite. The Kuli Amon Nichsei Becheskas Yatsme Kaimi, that not only does Rav Yehuda, but even Rav Yossi holds that the Nechasim belong to the Yisomen. Then why did Rav Yossi say that she doesn't have to write any document? But I knew time with Rav Yossi. This is the reason why Rav Yossi says you don't have to write a document. It's based upon Kida Abaye Kashisha. It's based upon the Abaye. We had Abaye Kashisha the other day. There's the regular Abaye that we have, Abaye and Rava. And then there was the other Abaye, who's a Tana. Kida Abaye Kashisha, the older Abaye. The older Abaye Kashisha. Abaye Kashisha said, Moshel de Rav Yossi, Lema Dover Dome. What is Rav Yossi's sheet over here, what's that comparable to? He says that the woman doesn't have to go write down any documentation that she sold it from Mizonos. It's analogous to L'shchiv Meira, like a person Nebuch who's on his deathbed, who we say always that the Divrei Shchiv Meira kiksuvim umesurim domi. When the Shchiv Meira says something, he's going to be very, very upset, and it's going to possibly cause him to have a shortened life if they don't do it right away. So therefore, when the Shchiv Meira says it, we consider it already that it's as if it was written down and handed over. So what did the Shchiv Meira say? Sh'omar, he said to a person, listen, Tanu Masayim Zuz Leploni. He says to the people around him, give 200 Zuz to this person, to Yankel, to Ploni, who's Baal Chovi, who I owe $200 to. But he doesn't say go do it to repay. He says give him $200. So that could either be a present or it could be a repayment. So the din is, Rotzah, if this person, if this Yankel, this Ploni, wants to take it as a repayment of his debt, he can. Rotzah v'chovo notlon, and he still then is entitled to get 200 for the gift. But now he has the 200 in his hand. He can say, that's a repayment of my debt, and you still owe me 200 as a gift. Rotzah v'matonah notlon. Or if he wishes to, he can say, listen, I'll take this as a gift, and I still have a shtar, and I still can collect from the estate. And when this guy passes away, I still have my IOU. He gave me this 200 as a gift. So it's his choice. The Baal Chov over here, Yankel, the Ploni, who got the 200 zuz as a present, could either take it as a present, or he can take it as a repayment of the chov. We turn to Tzadi Zayin Omer Aleph, Im b'matana nitlon lo kach yofa kocho. And certainly if he gets it as a matana, so then he still has a shtar, which allows him to collect from the estate, from the karka that's in the estate. And therefore, isn't that a big advantage to him? So too, when Rav Yossi said in our Mishnah that the woman shouldn't specify whether she sold this property for Mizonos or whether she sold it for Ksuba, this is to her advantage. If she wishes to ultimately say, I sold this for Mizonos, so then she still has the Ksuba that can go collect from the Karka that's in the estate. So therefore, it's to her advantage to do so, and that's why Rav Yossi would say in that situation, she didn't have to write down what she was selling it for. It's analogous to the case of the Shchiv Meira. So again, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi's attempt to go and say that this is a machlokis tanaim between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi is rebuffed. Either it's rebuffed because they all hold that it's nichse yasme, or like the first case, they all hold that it's nichse almana, and in each case, there's an explanation for why there was a machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. There is a machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, but it has nothing to do with whether the nichse belong to the Yosomim or whether the nichse belong to the almana. With this, we conclude today's share.